Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
It is so good to see all of you today. Oops. Hey, by the way, I saw the middle of every mask just about in this room kind of moving up and down like that during that hymn. I won't tell, but I saw it. If we have not yet met, I'm Nancy Tunnell, one of the associate pastors here. If you have met me and forgotten who I am, I'm Nancy Tunnell still. And I'm glad to be in worship with you this morning. This earth is the Lord's, and it is good, and He has given us so much to be thankful for. Let's embrace that this morning. And one of the things that I'm most thankful for are my friends in Christ. So I invite you to stand and wave or air hug a greeting across the room to your friends in this place today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Now? Yeah.
It's a great privilege for me to bring the message today while Gary's on vacation, a well-deserved vacation. He had one scheduled in April that he never got to take. He never complained or mentioned it. He just waited until it was a better time. And so now he is enjoying some well-deserved time off. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 5:8, and it's very simple. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the word of God for the people of God. When we decided to preach a series on the Beatitudes, we said it would be preacher's choice for everyone. Just pick the one you prefer to preach on. Well, I waited a while to choose. I mean, since I was near the end of the series, I didn't want to jump in there and take the best ones right up front. So by the time I had to choose, there weren't many left. And I don't think this one today would have been my first choice, but Jesus, believe it or not, well, of course you believe it, has packed quite a few points of interest into the 10 or 11 words of this verse. So this morning, we come to the sixth beatitude, which has to do with purity of heart and with seeing God. Today, we need to focus on three things, on the heart, on purity, and on seeing. Jesus offered blessings in the first five Beatitudes that are associated with receiving something, belonging to the kingdom of heaven, inheriting the earth, being comforted, being filled, and receiving mercy. Well, who wouldn't want all that? But this one, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. As we try to understand all that God is telling us in this verse, we need to look at it from a couple of different angles. Now, the Greek word used for heart here is cardia, from which we get our word cardiac. Every culture has some internal organ, it seems, which it considers the emotional, spiritual, and mental center of a person. In our culture, we speak of the heart as being that center. We say, I love you with all my heart. Or we say, let's get to the heart of the matter. It's our way of talking about the very center of a person's emotions, thoughts, or essence. And this is exactly how the word heart is used in Scripture. Not just here, but numerous times in the New Testament we see it. It means the center of who we really are, the epicenter of our being, and that's the meaning to which Jesus refers. In the Old Testament, the word for heart is often interchangeable with the word for mind, so it gives insight into this idea of it being the center of our emotions, thoughts, and spirit. In 1 Samuel 16:7, when Samuel is considering David's older brother as the one he should anoint as king, God spoke to him, and God tells him, do not look on his appearance or his height because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And aren't we glad? In Deuteronomy 4:29, we're told, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and soul. Jesus referred to the heart frequently in his ministry. In Matthew 6:21, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus tells us that this true center of our being reveals who we really are. He scolded, saying, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. Is the treasure within you a good treasure? Are you consistently bringing forth good things? So the heart is the center of our being. Who am I deep down in my heart? And who are you? Are we consistently speaking good things out of our good treasures? Now Jesus says that those who are blessed, those who enjoy a favorable position with God, who have this most fortunate state of existence, are those who are pure of heart. We know that it takes a change of heart to be pure in heart, because humankind, as we all know, has a natural tendency to sin. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. If we have established the heart as our center, we then have to deal with the word purity. That doesn't sound like much fun, does it? The Greek word used in our verse today carries with it the idea of cleanliness or purity in the sense that we would commonly understand it. It means to be genuine, to be free from things that would pollute something and make it impure, as in the purity of gold. It is similar to the concept of holiness of heart. When we think of purity of heart, perhaps we think of someone whose motives are pure, someone who possesses no guile or malice towards anyone, someone who is good-natured and may even be somewhat simple or naive, you know, the ones that we look at and say, oh, bless his little heart. But that is not exactly what our Lord is talking about. Within the context of what our Lord is saying, he is speaking about the heart of someone whose sins have been forgiven and whose heart has been made new, whose purity comes not from themselves, but from the presence of Jesus in their lives. Whenever I think of purity, I always think of milk. Just think about it. Picture it, a tall, cool glass of clean, white, tasty milk. Its color testifies to its purity. Now you let some foreign object fall into milk, say like a fly, and it becomes noticeable pretty quickly that this impurity has contaminated the entire container of milk. Nobody I know wants to drink milk that has had a fly in it. But let someone remove the fly, and once again, the milk appears to be pure, although there are now things in it you cannot see. Unseen contaminants that make it impure. That was the problem of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, and it's the problem with many people today. Their hearts have been contaminated by sins no one else can see, and so they give the external impression of purity. But within them, there is sin that remains uncleansed and continues to contaminate their lives. So to be pure in heart speaks not only to my position as a believer, but it also speaks to the condition of my walk with God. It does not mean that you and I have to be perfect. It does, however, mean that we've come to that point where Jesus is firmly established as Lord of our lives and we are firmly committed to remaining in step with him, my heart speaks to my position and to my condition. James told us in his letter that being double-minded or double-hearted, we could say, is impurity. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In the scriptures, we're told double-mindedness causes instability. Double-mindedness means unreality or untruth, not necessarily in the sense of deceiving others, but in the deeper sense of deceiving oneself. The unseen contaminants, sometimes we even trick ourselves into believing they are not there. So one who is two-hearted is in every sense a self-deceiver. The self-deceit causes insecurity and doubt as he hedges his bets and gives himself first to one thing and then the other, but never fully to either. He is a person of unfaith and volatile. James 1:6 says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He doubts because he knows himself to be disloyal and unreliable, and he projects that unreliability on God and others. In the Bible, this kind of double-mindedness is considered impurity. Purity is wholeheartedness, single-mindedness. Purity is so powerful because it is focused single-mindedness. In a sense, wholeheartedness leads away from instability and doubt into rest and stability when it is seeking after God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you men of double minds. Oddly enough, the Bible says the cure for the hot mess of instability and sin is the purity of an undivided commitment to God. As we draw nearer to God, our hands are further cleansed and our hearts more deeply purified. Double-minded literally means two-souled or two-spirited, wishy-washy, uncommitted, divided, doubting, wavering, uncertain, and especially a division of interest between the world and God. You can't have it both ways. Don't let your heart be divided between God and the world. You can't have both a wife and a girlfriend or a husband and a boyfriend. There is no purity in such an arrangement. Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's a promise given to those who have become wholly focused on Jesus' will for their lives. They shall see God. Now, there are those who would say that to see God means to be able to recognize his handprint in creation, this wonderful world. But that is not all Jesus is saying, because Romans 1 tells us that even the lost can recognize God through nature and creation. It's a big clue. No, Jesus is saying much more. Remember that Jesus is speaking to a Hebrew audience. While the Greeks were a people of the eye who wanted to see their gods and build statues of them, the Hebrews were a people of the ear who served an unseen God. Do you realize that's what you are? You're a people of the ear. You discern God inside in beautiful ways. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel. Revelation 2:11 says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Interesting, then, we find Jesus telling a Hebrew audience that they shall see God. Any good Hebrew would have been familiar with Exodus 33:20, where God tells Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And John 1:18 tells us that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So when Jesus promises that the pure in heart shall see God, what exactly is he saying? So to understand this, we need now to take a look at the word that is translated, shall see. It was a very significant word in the Greek language and in their worldview. As we mentioned, they were a people of the eye, which they thought was the most important means of perception. But this extremely important word carried a wide range of meaning. More than merely speaking of physical sight, it also meant mental and spiritual discernment or perception. Knowing that no man has physically seen God the Father in his totality, we have to realize that Jesus is using this word to convey the idea of perception, discernment, and understanding. We use the word see in similar ways in our own culture. When we want someone to perceive what we are explaining, we say, "Can you see what I mean?" When we want someone's will to change, we want them to see it our way. When we want someone to understand something unambiguously, we want them to see it clearly. When we know that experience will help someone discern or understand, we prepare them for the experience by saying, "Just wait, you'll see." Oftentimes, we don't mean they will literally see. What we really mean is, you'll understand or you'll get it then. In this context, physical sight is not necessary, for even a blind man could have insight. So Jesus is not necessarily talking about physical sight, but about perception, understanding, and discernment. And the blessing here is this: as the person who is pure in heart allows their life to be lost in Jesus, and as they allow Jesus to live through them, their understanding, their perception, their discernment of who God is, of his ways, of his will, of his heart, and of his hand will grow. It's going to grow. Whereas those who do not know God are alienated from the life of God because of the darkness that is within them, because of the blindness of their hearts. As Ephesians 4:17 says, the pure in heart have had their eyes opened. They can walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with God and one another. They are able to see God in that they can see his spirit moving in the so-called circumstances of their lives. They see his will being unfolded in their lives. They see his hand of provision in their everyday experience. They are perceptive to his ways. They are discerning of his heart and understanding when it comes to his word. They are able to see God because he lives in them through his spirit, and he reveals himself to them in new ways every day. They see God as he lives his life through them. You see, the pure in heart will see God because they are living life filled with his Holy Spirit. When the heart is right, Jesus says, seeing will be right. He ties together heart and sight. All we need to do is keep the lens clean, keep the heart pure. Now, obviously, we'll most clearly see God in heaven. However, in eternity, instead of looking dimly through a mirror, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we will know him face to face and see him face to face in a purer look. We will know him even as he knows us, and this is the great hope of true believers. We will ultimately see God. Blessed are the pure in heart is the climax of the Beatitudes. It is the climax because it brings the greatest blessing, seeing God face to face. As seeing and knowing God becomes our highest pursuit in life, there will be no cost that we are unwilling to pay and no height that we are unwilling to climb to know him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they and they alone will see God. Purity can be a daunting word to consider. Some of us would never be able to imagine calling ourselves pure, but please know this. Please know this. There is nothing you have ever said or done that can't be forgiven. If you think your heart needs restoration, ask Jesus or ask one of us to help you ask him. Can you see what I mean? Can you see clearly? No more half-heartedness where God is concerned. Lord, purify our hearts. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.